When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
On the road with Simon Constable in Paradise in the south of France, writing for the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications, now in Toulouse, France, for Christmas shopping and also to admire the grounds of the Basilica of St. Cernin. Behind him, dating to the 11th century AD, Christian Toulouse, and grounds around him dating to the 5th century AD, the original basilica, wherein was or under which was buried the first bishop of Toulouse. This is Christianity stepping in place of the departing Roman Empire. Simon, a very good day to you in the south of France. Now, it is wintry here in New England. How is it with you in paradise? Good day, Simon.
Good day, John. And you can hear the bells in the background there of the basilica. It was chilly this morning. Chilly, to say the least. It was 36 Fahrenheit when I woke up, and now it's around 48, and we're expecting a similar day tomorrow. So pretty nippy, but the sky is stunningly blue, and it's absolutely lovely to see that. Very little wind, so it's almost still wherever you stand.
You've traveled to Toulouse because you're becoming an aficionado. The city is very well laid out. It's never known the wars of the rest of Europe. And you're there for Christmas shopping. How is the ambiance of Toulouse? Are the restaurants welcoming? Are the wine bars happy? Is everybody pleasant?
Everybody is pleasant here. It is absolutely lovely. There is a little one of those Christmas fairs where there are stalls that you can buy lots of goodies that you wouldn't dream of buying any other time than before the holidays. So it is absolutely lovely. People have been very nice, very happy. It always seems to be that way here, but really no problems at all.
I'm looking at a photograph of where Simon is standing, and then I can look over his shoulder, but thanks to the miracle of Zoom. And I see that the basilica is a combination of Romanesque, Gothic, and what I presume to be Roman architecture, quite beautifully done and very well maintained with a good shrubbery all around it. Very happy. All right, Simon, now it's time to report on the rest of the world. The first concern we have are the metrics of commodities in Europe. Given the disorder that's now apparent, the German government fell, the French government's about to, or has, or will, whatever, until next summer. The government back in Great Britain, I fear to say, Simon, to an Englishman, is so disordered I cannot possibly summarize what's going on. Today is Prime Minister's questions, and Sir Keir Starmer seems unduly unready. However, you are in a part of the world where the price of energy and the price of coffee matter a deal. Has anything changed since last week?
Well, we're very pleased that nothing's changed with Brent crude, which is the European oil benchmark. It's still at $74 a barrel, and the electricity prices haven't moved either. But what has moved in a bad way, because it's up, is coffee. Coffee is now $3 a pound on wholesale market, which is really getting kind of eye-popping, and that's something we've all got to have in the morning to get up. And cocoa too. Cocoa is now up very, very near to $9,000 a ton. That's a metric ton, 1,000 kilos. So neither of those are good. The first one obviously was good because oil prices haven't gone up, which means that diesel prices haven't gone up. So most of the people I live near are pretty happy with that bit of it.
Simon, the concern that we also have here in the U.S., reading the news in Europe, and the FT is especially alarmed, is that Emmanuel Macron, who has been seen as a strong hand in the European Union these many years, France is the second largest economy, is suddenly revealed as mortal, and that what's going on in the Assembly is a plan that Marine Le Pen had in mind when those snap elections gave her the largest number of seats in the Assembly, but not a majority. And the road ahead shows that Macron, who is termed out, is no longer the major schemer and politico in France. Does this affect you in any way? Because you live in Le Pen country. The national rally is all around you. Your neighbors are the farmers. Does it touch you, Simon?
Well, it touches me in as much as which way the government goes. But it seems that these parties that may come to a coalition that we might have slightly higher taxes, or we might have less higher taxes than we would have had if things stayed as they were. One of the things that the appointed prime minister had done was to try and increase taxes by $64 billion for 2025, which is an enormous amount of money and was really going to hurt the country. There are some other issues, but that was basically what sparked this. And yes, you're right. This is probably the plan that Marine Le Pen, head of the National Rally, had in mind all the time. And I think when it comes up, when the next election comes up, which can't be until next year, then maybe a good move. Who knows?
So we're coming now to what is going on in the rest of Europe. We're headed to London, but I mentioned, Simon, that what's going on in the rest of Europe, London we'll get to, is equally shaky. I note that the German government fell some time ago, and reporting from Berlin now says that Mr. Scholz, campaigning to be part of the majority or the minor government when and if the election in February comes off, is handing out money. That's his way of campaigning. This is the SPD. Friedrich Merz, the head of the CDU, previously with Angela Merkel for many decades, is staying silent because he doesn't want to weaken his chances to be chancellor, something he's dreamed about his whole life. So the largest economy is demonstrating its fragility. The second largest economy, France, is demonstrating its fragility. And now we go to London. All right, now that I've tucked up those two continental features, London is difficult to summarize, Simon. I ask you as an Englishman, taxes and taxes and taxes and spending and spending and spending. Is that the future for Great Britain? Can you see any other course that Labour could possibly promote these next 5 years it's in power?
Well, they're going to run out of people to tax sooner or later because you can't go beyond 100% tax very feasibly. And that seems to be what's going on. I mean, one of the many big things that's been going on is the increase in the payroll taxes for businesses, which is almost certainly going to result in lower hiring rates and larger layoff rates and fewer companies coming to Britain to invest in Britain. So none of that is very good at all. And then you've got another issue, which is really perturbing in some ways, is the vote for Brexit was very strongly in favor of Brexit. And now Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister, says he wants to cozy up to the European Union in order to get a better trade deal, which to me, well, it strikes me as a very badly disguised effort to reverse the Brexit vote and get back in the European Union. And I don't think he will hesitate to do that. I think we'll see that maybe within a few years. There's a lot of things that were promised in the election campaign by Labour, and they're doing the opposite. It's very sad.
When I read that bit in the London Times today, I wondered if the London Times is led by men and women who enjoy contemplating how the Brexiteers and the Remainers got through their breakfasts. We can imagine, Simon, at the club.
We can imagine.
The Brexiteers would be on their feet turning over the tea table, right? And the Remainers would be sitting there chuckling away with their rosy cheeks. That issue is not settled. It's fun, Simon, to consider that Keir Starmer, who's in power for 5 years, is now revealed, is that a word? As
reviled, I think, is maybe the better word. He has been revealed and then immediately reviled by a lot of people in the population. It is quite sad for him. He's not going to go down in the books as a good prime minister if it continues like this.
Well, the question is he a martyr? Does he self-destruct himself? Is that the nature? Because I thought that he was put in front of the party to get rid of the Jeremy Corbyn wing, the anti-Semites. And then, following the extremely controversial and, let's say, discounted ICC statement of arrest warrants for the prime minister and former defense minister of Israel, Starmer comes out and says, I'll enforce them. Why, Simon? Where in Britain is he hiding? Or does he?
He must be a masochist because people aren't going to like that. It's interesting. Macron had come up and said basically, "Oh no, Netanyahu and his right hand man can both come to France without risk of being arrested, based on this ICC warrant." It is very, very odd. And when you look at it, you're thinking, could someone have taught him to do it worse than this? No, he's obviously achieving much above even people who are trying to upset everybody else. And very interesting.
And then we come to this Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel Reeves, who has put forth a budget which will be overwhelmingly successful because Labour can do what it wants with that majority. That is a promise from her that she won't raise taxes again. What is that, Simon? Right now, she's taxing everything that moves, plus the farmers. We've talked about the farmers before. She is deaf to the public. Is that it? Is that how we should regard Labour out of power all these years? No longer listens to the people that put them into power?
It does seem that way. People are very upset with this. They were promised no raises, no major significant raises in taxes, and that hasn't happened. In fact, it's been basically a sledgehammer of taxes onto everybody. I can't think anyone who's really benefited from anything apart from countries abroad from the UK that need money for aid. And that's a longstanding tradition of Britain, but it's not gone down very well when everyone else in Britain is suffering a little bit from these tax hikes. Not good at all.
Well, we leave Europe behind in tatters, government all lost. We come home to America, which is an island of stability and prosperity in these days. And when we come back, we have a quiz for you that Simon has created for the Wall Street Journal. And I got every answer wrong. It's a quiz that you may do well in if you've been a victim of online scams. When we come back, Simon Constable in Toulouse at Christmas time. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.